Exactly, did teenagers come from?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Why should you be the only one involved?
Well, far be it for me to tell you what to do with
this. Oh, are you going to preach? Do we have to listen to a sermon now?
Well, I'm only trying to tell him what you mean. You can't be idealistic all your life.
Actor James Dean in Rebel Without a Cause, screaming at his father, actor Jim Backus, the classic teenage angst movie from the 1950s. There at the birthplace of teen culture.
Of all the world's youth, none are more fortunate by birthright and inheritance than the 21 million boys and girls between the ages of 16 and 24 who constitute one vast and glamorous society.
This is just one example of the rich archival material filmmaker Matt Wolff relied on in putting together his new documentary called Teenage. It's a film full of insights that come directly off our discussion this week of aging and increased life expectancy in our time. With the stretching out of lifespans, youth is stretched out. The teenage years were invented, Matt Wolff says, because suddenly there was a time to grow up where there hadn't been before. Wolff says it was the dawn of a completely new era in human culture, and that's no exaggeration.
You know, with the abolition of child labor, there was this second stage of life that emerged, and young people weren't going to the factory. They were getting into trouble, and people perceived youth as a social problem. And so all these questions were raised about their role in society.
And what did you find in the course of filming that teenagers typically do with their autonomy, that the idea of teenagerness has granted them?
Well, I mean, I think they rebel. And I think that I've developed a more nuanced idea about what rebellion looks like and what the political dimensions of that are like as well. The film kind of follows four central characters. One is Brenda Dean Paul. She was one of England's bright young people in the 1920s. She was like a Lindsay Lohan figure.
Mm-hmm. Brenda hit the scene in 1926. She was 19. She came from a broken home, longed to be famous. She played many parts, but the most convincing was her role as life and soul of the party.
The paparazzi took her photos. The public loved to hate her. Like a lot of youth, she's someone that we idealize and we condemn. Another character was Melita Mashman. She was a Hitler youth.
Melita Mashman was a typical middle-class girl. Her parents complained about the unemployment and poverty, but they didn't do a thing. Melita wanted action. So she joined the Hitler Youth.
And what intrigued me in the diary that was the basis for her story, Account Rendered, she talks about how joining the Hitler Youth was a form of rebellion against her parents' generation in Germany. And another character is Tommy Scheele. He was one of Germany's swing kids. His story particularly inspired me because it's where politics and pop culture really collide.
The Nazis hated swing. They banned all art and social dancing. Boys and girls were forbidden to mix.
Him and his friends smuggled American swing records and British fashion into Nazi-era Germany and would have underground dance parties. And the Gestapo eventually arrested them. They were, you know, doing what kids do, but it was a subversive form of rebellion.
In each of these cases, while rebellion is nuanced internally for these teens, it can, if you're in the right place at the right time, produce a huge impact. In the case of Simple Rebellion, Hitler Youth, Simple Let's Have a Party, it becomes a cultural movement.
Exactly. And I think oftentimes adults, and I'm guilty of this too, kind of disregard teenage rebellion as an emotional or a hormonal rite of passage. And I think that this history proves that there's a real political substance to it and that it's been a catalyst for change.
If human beings were able to extend the condition of adolescence, this idea that we're not formed yet, we haven't made all of our decisions, and it went on instead of 4 or 5 years, it went on for 2 decades. Would that make us more productive, more skeptical, more inclined to question authority, more democratic, more anarchistic?
No, I think it would be dysfunctional, and I think it is happening. I think more and more the second stage of life is becoming prolonged and the generation gap is closing. I think that stems from a larger cultural obsession with youth, the desire that people have to stay young forever, and I don't necessarily think that's super productive.
But there's a huge collision there because you talk to teens, they can't wait to get out of this mm-hmm. predicament. And then you talk to 40-year-olds and they're all, you know, yearning to return to the fetal position.
Exactly. Yeah, I think there's something very restless about being young because you're not allowed to self-determine at that stage. You're not totally in control of your life. So you spend a lot of time kind of imagining the future and a lot of creative and meaningful things come out of that. But I think, there's a desire to be an adult, to live life on your own terms. And I think adults, they have an ambivalent relationship to youth. They tend to idealize being young and want to stay young, but they tend to also condemn the younger generation.
So how do audiences view this film? I suspect that teenagers would naturally view your characters as heroes, but that older people would be inclined to view them as specimens or think of them as kind of adorable.
Well, I think young people do feel empowered by the history in the film. It is a kind of call to arms for youth that really isn't about the kind of conformist, apathetic teenagers. It's about exceptional youth. And I think highlighting those kinds of characters is inspiring for young people.
Is there pressure among teens today to be exceptional, that simply going along, being in a group, growing up simply and for that reason alone is not enough?
Nowadays, as young people are facing kind of unprecedented unemployment and a lack of opportunities, that pressure feels even more intense. And with the advent of social media, I think people expect to get exceptional feedback on the ways that they express themselves. So many likes on Instagram or Facebook for every status update. You know, that's a very contemporary kind of pressure.
As a filmmaker who got to explore various decades of teenagerdom, is there a moment when you would have loved to have been a teenager based on what you looked at, even if it didn't make it into the film?
Yeah, I would have loved to be present for the jitterbugs and jitterbugging. I think it was just like really the first full-fledged subculture that had its own slang, style, music, dance. And it was something underground that young people were doing, and it became a mass media phenomenon. To be part of that explosion would have been amazing.
Matt, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Matt Wolff's new documentary, Teenage, opens in limited release tomorrow.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.